All right, so here we are back, and today we're going to talk about the notion of states, you know, not like Indiana and Ohio and stuff, but how the notion of state is used in game programming, and especially in Flash, how we can make programs that have one behavior one moment, then another behavior the next minute, and so on. It's a pretty important idea in game development. So I'm looking ahead at the states chapter. Actually, let's move ahead beyond that. Chapter 3 is about states, and there at the end is something called an adventure game. And so here's the first stab at it. It's sort of a text-style adventure. It's pretty dorky, but go with me here. You're bored with everyday life, so you book passage on a ship. Adventure seems to have found you. Your ship catches fire. Choose wisely. Oh, nifty little nautical-looking button. Thank you very much. Your ship is burning. You feel it beginning to slip into the ocean. You can either try to put out the fire or jump from the ship. Help me out here.
Jump.
Might as well jump. You find yourself in the water. You see a lifeboat nearby and some debris off in the distance. Which do you swim toward? The lifeboat or the debris?
Lifeboat.
We'll go to the lifeboat. As you reach the lifeboat, you can see it's already crowded to overflowing. Still, you climb in. Bummer, dude. Your weight causes the boat to slip under the waves. Try again. Yeah. I happen to know the right answers, because I wrote the darn thing. The floating debris keeps you afloat till you drift to a tiny island. You're exhausted. Regain your strength or start a fire. You're trying to build a fire. Keep trying. I was watching Survivor while I wrote this. So you'll never succeed. Actually, I gotta tell you, this is my favorite. I think I have an old version of this somewhere. Let me find you the old version of this game, because it didn't work for the book, but it works for you guys. Maybe not. The game was the IUPUI game, and my favorite, the same place as the fire that keeps you going. You know, so you're on your couch, and you have to decide if you're going to pick up the remote control or the IUPUI course catalog. If you pick up the remote control, you get to choose between a reality show and an infomercial. The reality show is Who Wants to Marry Dr. Phil? Yeah. And I had way too much fun with this. Anyway, so eventually you decide to go to IUPUI, and you have to figure out if you're going to, you know, drive or take a bus. And then you decide to drive, and you have to go to Indianapolis or Kokomo. My favorite screen in the whole thing is, you're in Kokomo. The end. Okay, I know that. Now I'm being insensitive to Kokomo. I'm gonna get emails about that. Anyway, so you can see kind of how this thing works. Does it sort of make sense? Let's actually get in the right chapter. Yeah, so the way this thing basically works is I've got a bunch of little states. I can move from place to place to place to place to place, and I can see different things. Help me remember. I need to put that diagram up so you can see it better. That's kind of what the game really looks like. This is adventure.ping. I'll help to put a list. We'll talk more about how this is working. But adventure games usually come down to something like this. Yeah? You've got a series of states or situations that the player is in. Each of these situations is very similar to the others in its general structure. It has a title, it has a description, it may have graphics and animations. That's not that important, really. And it's going to have choices. A computer scientist would call this thing, help me, computer scientists. Not a flowchart, it's not quite the same. Flow diagram, maybe. I'm looking for finite state machine. Ding, ding, ding. Give that man a cookie. Finite state machine. We've got a state, and depending on what happens, you can move to another state. So our initial state is on burning ship. You can move from that state to the sink state or the in the water state, and so on. Does that make sense? So a finite state machine is a construct in computer science that allows you to think about programs in a certain way. You can think about programs as a series of states, and the user's progress through the program as a position in that map of states. Does that make sense? You've got a specific way of flowing through. Now, is this only for games? Oh, heavens no. Artificial intelligence programs use this kind of approach frequently. Back when expert systems was all the buzzword, that was what you know, everybody was going to be doing expert system stuff. That's all about state machines. That's entirely done with state machines. So finite state machines, a pretty good idea. It works great for adventure games. We'll use a variant, a simpler variant of the idea, for almost all of our games. Because even an arcade game has more than one state. Usually an arcade game in Flash has the play state. It has an intro screen. Most of them have a totally unnecessary loading screen. Should be unnecessary if you do it right. Most of them have some sort of game over screen, or maybe more than one. Maybe one for you win, one for you lose. So those are all states. Does that make sense? And then whenever we see a state machine in our original diagram, that tells us we're going to implement it in a particular way in Flash. Does that make sense? So first I want you to see this idea of state, and then we talk about how we implement it in Flash. Okie dokie? Okie dokie. All right. So there's that game, and you can see that I did some tricky things, like fire is an endless loop. You can't get out of that. Once you've chosen to go hunting, you've lost, whether you tackle the wild pig or not. You can just lose slowly or quickly. And there is one path out to winning the game. Now, once I had this diagram, it was not difficult to build the game. Trying to build the game without the diagram, close enough to impossible. Go ahead, ignore me on this. Don't make a diagram, see how you do. You've got to have a diagram. When the time comes, we'll do that. That'll be your first assignment this weekend. You can start thinking about that. Start building a diagram for a game kind of like this. Cool? I really don't care about how graphically beautiful it is. I don't care about anything else, but you're going to be building this game, so you can start with your diagram. I really am not interested in implementation yet. Make sense? But start thinking about that. It's a lot of fun. Write it down on paper. I don't know, whatever you want to. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to the game. But that's what we'll be doing next for our next assignment. Okie doke? All right. Now, let's look at how we build a simpler thing. I'll come back to this later, but let's look at something a little bit simpler. Let's look at this program. We are here, and the grass looks greener over there. So what should we do?
Go there.
Let's go there. Now we're there. But the grass looks greener back here. So let's go back here. Here, there, here, there. With a simple mind, I might entertain myself for quite some time playing this game. Now, do I really need a finite state machine for this? No, that's overkill, but I'm looking for a simple example to help you see how we can get to something more sophisticated. Right? Right. Let's build this in Flash. So I'm pulling up Flash, and then we'll all go get a Coke because it's going to take a while. And what I'm going to do is finally use the timeline. I really wasn't paying attention to the timeline before. When the going gets tough, the tough get out a real mouse. None of this touchpad business. Yeah, really. Ha, I beat it. And here's the dirty trick. You know, the animators use the timeline to specify time, right? There's a new Flash document. And inside this area, the timeline specifies time. The default frame rate is 12 frames per second in Flash. That's fine. You can make it faster or slower. I usually leave it here. It works fine for what I'm going to do. Now, normally, I put some stuff in here, and if I want something to happen 1 second later, I put it in frame 12. Make a new keyframe there. Something else will happen at frame 12. Well, that's not exactly the behavior that I want. Remember the program that we already wrote, the Hello World? It just cycled on frame 1 and stayed there. Remember that? Well, here's the sneaky thing we're going to do. Let's go ahead and build this frame, the here frame. We got to use gutter vomit now. Here. So there's the here frame. So far, so good. Now, the other thing we'll need is a button. Remember how to build a button? Dun, 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 pop quiz. I can't do that, Pink. That's just, I can't do it. So that's pretty nasty looking, too, but we'll go with it. So there I've created a button. How do I convert, or a rectangle, how do I convert the rectangle to a button? I can right-click it, I can go from the menus, or I can remember F8, which is pretty good. And I'll call it the button. That's what I'm calling the thing in the library, the button. I also have to name the button that's here, the instance that's on the screen. There's a couple of ways to do that. One way would be to say go there _btn. Now, Macromedia likes that you end buttons in _btn because then their editor will tell you, ooh, here's the things a btn can do, a button can do. I generally don't do that because I don't find that helpful, honestly. And there's only one thing I'll ever do to a button, so really I don't need that. So I usually do it this way. I usually say btn go there. Now, if I'm in the here frame, why is my button called btn go there? Because when I click on it, or when the user clicks on it, they should go there, wherever there is. So far, you're following. Okay, now, text. Should I put the text directly in the button?
No.
No, better to put it on top. It's just going to make my life easier. Go there. Better not do green on green. And then I can move the text so it fits. I really am getting attached to Gutter Vomit. It's a very nice little font. Check and make sure that text is static. Good, I'm not going to have problems. Now I need to attach some code, but the code doesn't make sense yet. I don't know what to make it do yet. So now I'm going to come over to the timeline, and here in frame 10, I'm going to do something else. Now, what I'm doing next, it doesn't really matter what frame it's in, because the first thing I'm going to do is subvert the normal behavior of the timeline, which is to step through 12 frames a second. I'm going to stop it from doing that in a moment. But right now, I'm going to put another state in this thing, so it has another place. A state in Flash is really a keyframe. So the insert keyframe command, I can right-click, I can do it from the menus, or I can remember F6. Hey, we did that before when we made the button states. Get it? The button already had multiple states. That's what a button is. It's a movie clip with multiple states. We're doing the same thing. So now I have created a keyframe in frame 10. And I'm going to create another keyframe, just for the fun of it, in frame 20. And although this last step isn't necessary, you'll see why it's useful, well, immediately. Here I'm going back to frame 1. Now, do you want to have to remember that this is frame 1? We don't. We want to give it a name that makes it easier to handle. Remember, in the state diagram, every one of those places had a name. Names are easier for us mortal human beings to handle. So, click on this keyframe, which is frame 1, and down here I have a properties dialog, which is the properties of that frame. Frames have properties too, even though they're not visual elements on the screen. So I can name it, let's call it here. Now look at the really, truly wonderful and exciting thing that happened in the timeline. What does it say up there?
Here.
This is why I don't like my frames to be touching each other. Because I like it to give me space that I can see those labels. That label says here. That's kind of cool, isn't it? What should I call this one?
There.
There. Okay. Now, notice something interesting. What's on here?
Flag.
Well, there's a flag. There's a flag there too. But on this here frame, we have something that says here, we've got this button, we've got this other text. We go on the there frame, we have this text, we have this text, and we have a button. My question is, if I change this, let's change just one of these things. If I change this and put that down there, what'll happen when I look at it this way? Is it the same one or is it a new copy? Yeah, these are distinct. By having a new keyframe, I actually have a new instance of each of these things. Does that make sense? It's kind of crazy. It actually turns out to be really handy. But it's kind of freaky at first, because at first it looks like you've got the same thing here and there. But you don't. You have similar things that aren't identical. You follow? What if you want to line them up? Here's a neat little trick. You want to line them up and make them look like they're all attached? It took me a long time to learn this. Here's a neat trick called onion skin. And what that does is it's like the traditional animator's tools. It allows you to see sort of a faint version of something underneath this one. And so you can set that up and you can drag how many frames you see. In this case, it's not going to really matter. And actually, I want to go on this side. So I can move this here to... Oh, not that whole thing. So I can lock this guy in, and it looks exactly like it's on top of the other one. That way, when I move between them, I won't have that jump. Well, there's that one in the that got moved a little bit too, so I can fix that. And that got moved a little bit too, so I can fix that. So the onion skin is a useful little tool for lining things up if you care. I like it because it makes my life a little bit easier. And then you just turn it off when you're done. Now we'll see as we swap between. We're close. If I really cared, I could get closer. I'm not going to worry about it today. Cool? Also, I can change this in other ways. So that shouldn't say here anymore. That should say there. Because now we're there. And this should say go here. You get it? I'm there, so I should go here and so on. I'm here, I can go there, this is there, and I can go here. Hey, could I run this now?
Good.
Sure. I wouldn't want to? Well, that sounds like a challenge. Here go, oh, 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 oh. Here go there, there go here, go here. It's jumping back and forth. And it's having real trouble with this one. This is even worse, and here's what I'm going to do. Take out that keyframe. Okay, why is it jumping back and forth between here and there? It's playing it like an animated movie. So what it's doing is it's obediently saying, hey, I'm going to stay on this timeline and I'm going to run through the timeline. When I get to the end, I'll go back to the beginning. That's the way animations should work, and that's fine. But I want this program to run longer than that. I want it to sit on the first frame and wait for the user to click on the button before it goes to the next frame. Make sense? So I have a different idea in mind. Here's how we do that. First thing I do is click on this frame, and now I'm going to call up my actions window. F9 is the quick key for that. Again, you can do it through the menus and so on. But you'll do it a lot, so F9 is good. I like to have this window pretty wide open because I'm a programmer first. And I actually am pretty comfortable in a text editor. You will be too by the time you're done. Now, I need some code. Let me make sure I know what I'm talking about. That's button go there. Now, before I do any code, what should I do? Pavlovian response.
Check where the other one is.
Click the frame. Make sure this says actions frame. If you do not do that, you will be disappointed with the results and you will send me an angry email. That'll probably be the first thing I say when you say, Andy, the code that you put online doesn't work. I'll say, did you put it in the frame? You're not stupid. It's just crazy. There's so many places to put it, and it doesn't work in all those places right. So all the code I'll give you will work in a frame. Here's the first thing I'm going to give you. Stop. What does that do? Stops the timeline, stops the program. Are those the same thing? Ooh, that's deep. You know, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, and can they talk to dogs when they do it? So what did it do? Did this stop?
No, it's waiting after the timeline.
It's still going. It's still... Oh, you're for sure. Do we want it to do that?
No.
No. And now, we want it to do what it's doing. We want it to sit and cycle. But see, this is like an animator's thing. For an animator, yeah, this is stopping because we're not moving the timeline. But for a programmer, this is not stopping. What are we really doing? Cycling on this frame. We're not pausing either. This is still running. But what's happening is, rather than moving to the next frame, we're cycling on this one, and we're just spinning on this frame. How often do we re-come to this frame? 12 times a second. So we're still using the same frame rate. We're still moving around. Our program is still running. The program is not stopping. Only the motion of the timeline is stopping. Make sense? And so we're still spinning on the same spot. That's a critically important idea. That is the secret. Congratulations, you're no longer an animator. You are now a Flash programmer. That's the secret. When we stop using the timeline as a timeline and we start using it as a state machine, now we're there. Now we have unbelievable mystical powers. Okay, it's not really unbelievably mystical yet, but it's getting there. I'll show you. I'm going to write some code here. Button go there on release gets function. What's this do? Yeah, it says, Dear Flash, when the user unclicks on this button, here's what I want it to do. How in the world was I able to do that out of memory? I've written it about 500 times. How are you going to do it out of memory? Yeah, that would really be best. Do it a lot. That's how you learn it. I can't make you do it a lot. I can just ask you to. But that's how you're going to get good at it. So button go there on release gets function, and what should we do? Well, here's what we'll do. Root dot go to and stop there. Now, for many of you who've taken an animation class, this is as far as your action script ever went. That was the midterm project. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about that. First of all, let's see if it works. Let's make sure I'm not telling you a mistake, and then we'll come back and see what it does. Okay, it's sitting there, and it's spinning. I'll click on the button. Here we go. I'm all a Twitter. Let's see if it works. Now, what if I click here? It doesn't go back yet. Why not? I didn't put code there. Now, let's talk about what happened. This top line, button go there, dot on release gets function. That says, hey, I'm attaching some code to the button click. Right? Now, the actual code I'm doing has a couple of pieces. Underscore root dot something. Underscore root refers to the main program. I've heard some people say it's the timeline. Not exactly. It's not exactly the timeline. It is the program itself. It's the whole Flash program. Underscore root is a built-in word, and that refers to the whole big mama program that you're writing. Everybody okay with that? Now, the reason that's important is because that thing is a special object called a movie clip. Movie clips are really cool. They've got all kinds of built-in special magic behaviors. One of them is go to and stop. And what that means is, hey, you're a movie clip, you've got a timeline. Here's where I want you to go on your timeline. So rather than allowing the timer to move or the playhead to move on its own, I'm manually moving it with this go to and stop. Does that make sense? So I'm saying, hey, go to the frame called there. That's why I named it. It's easier to say there than frame number 10. It's easy to remember that later. Go find a frame named 10, spin there. That make sense? So the head is moving to that frame and it's spinning right there. And so now program control is moved. So I've changed the program control so it's no longer automatically moving forward every 1/12 of a second, but it's going on my command directly where I want it to go. And because I said go to and stop, what's it doing there? Staying there, cycling there. Make sense? So on that button, do I need the stop command on that frame?
Yes.
No, because I'll already be there. I'll already be stopped there. What if I wanted to go there and start playing? I would say root underscore root dot go to and play there. I'll almost never do that. There are places when Later on, you'll build sprite objects that'll have multiple states. So you may have a little animated dude, and you have one animation for walking left to right. You could use a GoToInPlay for that. There's some good reasons to be very careful about that. It interferes with certain kinds of event checking and so on, but I'm not going to worry about that now. Most part, I'll do GoTo and stop. Does that make sense? All right. So that's great. This frame, this here frame, totally makes sense. Now, how about the there frame? What are we going to have to do there? Exactly. First thing, let's change the name of this button. It should be called button go here. All right. Everything else looks fine. Let's take a look at the code. There's the code window, actions frame, so I'm happy. I don't have to say stop. I could if I want, but I don't have to. All I really need here is the code. Button go there dot on release gets function. And what will the function be? Underscore root dot go to, and see, that's that nifty thing. It knows root is a movie clip, so it tells you all the things it can do. That's kind of cool, but there's only a dozen things we're going to use most of the time, and you'll learn them anyway. So I don't get too excited about that. Root, go to, and stop, and I have to tell it where I want it to stop. Now, this part's neat. See, it pops up a little suggestion. Go to and stop, well, it needs to be a frame. Well, I've named this frame here, so everything's looking pretty good. Make sense? Can we try it? Let's see what happens. Here, go there. There, go here. Do! 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 What did I do wrong? I thought this guy was a trained professional. Let's run it again and see what went wrong. Any ideas?
You didn't name the first frame. I think you wrote down the wrong button.
Uh-huh. Before we get too uptight about that, let's think of the things that could be wrong. Because that's a really important process. Did the code ever occur? Can we trace it?
We got the wrong button.
Yeah, that's very often what's wrong. Button go here, which is fine. This should be button go here. I type button go there. Where is button go there? In another frame, this code has nothing to do with it. You'll never make that kind of boneheaded mistake, will you? Yeah, look at him laughing at me. Will you be like,
while we're on that,
yeah.
Can you write code for a button that's not on that frame? In that frame? And will it work?
Well.
Or another question is, can you overload operators or overload
okay.
Buttons?
Those are good computer science questions. So those of you who are computer scientists, you can listen. Those of you who are not, just go ahead and duck, because we're going over your head, and it's not because you're stupid, right? The answer is yes, it's a scope issue. Can you move scope outside? They're both really scope issues. Can I address something that's not in the scope of the current frame? The answer is yes, but like with most scope issues, you should really consider why you're doing that. Most of the time, if you're doing that, there's probably a better way. For now, I'm going to say no, don't do that. Try to keep every frame separate. Just like you've done in ordinary programming, you try and keep every function separate. You try to keep every object separate. There's really good software engineering reasons to do that. So for the most part, I say don't bother with that. One easy thing to do, if you want to have a global scope, and we'll talk about how to do that, is you can attach an object to root. So root dot button go there is going to be that other button. Generally, you shouldn't mess with stuff in another frame. It's just going to not be worth it. Now, your other question was about what?
The other question was having, like in the Avenger game,
uh-huh.
You you have a couple of buttons that are wandering. So you can wander here, you can wander in this frame, you can wander in this frame.
Right, right.
Can you name all of those buttons wander, and is it a good idea to do that?
You can name all of those buttons wander, and since each frame has a separate scope, you can have multiple buttons with the same name in different scopes. That's okay. I've even done it on occasion, just because it keeps the code simple. I don't want to have wander 1, wander 2, wander 3. So you can get away with that. That's okay. Does that make sense? Now, there's still sometimes good reasons not to do that, but you can get away with it. Is everybody following? Okay. Media people, you can come back in.
Okay.
It's an all swim. All right, so you stayed in. Good, good, good. It's okay, and there's going to be times when the new media people are going to be all about what I'm saying. Not as many, because I'm not that good at new media. And the CS people are going to be, I don't know what you're talking about. Give me some binary code, please. So it's all fair. All right, should we try it again?
Yes, sir.
Did you notice that I didn't freak out when my code didn't work? I did not do it on purpose. I did not break it on purpose. It's because, you know what? It's going to happen. You're going to break code all the time. All the time. You're going to make that kind of idiotic mistake all the time. The most important thing is the process. Now, what if you didn't have sharp eyes and didn't see that? You don't just rely on that. What would the next step have been?
Put in
I would have put a trace statement in. Trace, I got here. It's not what?
It's not a good trace statement. It's not a hack sword.
All right, let's run this. And then when I click on this, I should get something that says I got here. That's the next step I usually do. When there's some code, I don't know if it's happening or not, I'll put a trace statement in, and I'll tell myself, hey, self, when I click on that button, I should get that trace statement. If I don't get the trace statement, which is the simplest statement I can think of in Flash, what does that tell me? I didn't get there. The way that my code was broken before, would I have gotten there?
Yes.
No. This would never have said that, because I wouldn't have gotten there in that frame. And so then I would be able to tell myself, self, why didn't I get there? What are the possibilities? Syntax error, in which case it would have broken and said, hey, you idiot, you have a syntax error. I would like that. Probably the other option is I misnamed something. I either didn't name my function right or I didn't name my button right. Usually the problem is I didn't name the button right. Does that make sense? Are you going to run into that problem? Sure. Are you going to be able to fix it? Sure. First time? No. You'll swear. You'll throw things out the window. You'll kick your cat. Please don't do that. But you'll get it, right? Sure. And I'll help you. So this is kind of neat, isn't it? Now we have a functional finite state machine. It's not a very exciting one. It's only got two states. But could we take this same idea and expand it to the adventure game? Sure, the adventure game isn't really going to be that much harder, because it's just got more states. It's the same deal, and it's got some code in it. Let's look back at the one online. And you can see there's a lot of code, but look at this. Where is all the code? They're all very short lines, and they're all almost identical. Every frame has two buttons in it, or most of them do, and each of those has a route, go to, and stop that sends you to another state. So this is an incredibly simplistic program that is simply allowing the user to jump from state to state. Each of those states is implemented as a frame. Pretty easy, isn't it? Sure, the coding is the easy part of this game. The hard part is the planning. And there's some real truth in this. If I've learned one thing in this time that I've been teaching people how to program, it's that programming is easy. Algorithms are hard. You know, I'm not going to make you bore you with that stupid stair stuff that some of my colleagues do. I'm sorry. We never should have thought of that. But this, you know, state the problem, tools, algorithm, implementation, refinement. Have you heard that thing? Nah. Some people go crazy with it. And it's not a bad idea. But the basic, the more important thing isn't that you memorize another acronym in your life, but that sometimes you get stuck. You don't know what's going on. You're staring at a blank screen. Or you've started something and you are just totally, wow, I must have written this, but it looks like Chinese. You ever been there? Two kinds of programmers. Those who have been there and those who haven't started yet. Because you're going to be there. You're going to be there, I guarantee you. That's part of the game. I have programmed in a lot of languages and I have written a lot of programs. And it doesn't matter. No matter, every time I start a new program or a new language or something like that, I will find myself there. Tonight, I will. I will have a moment tonight where I'm like, holy crud, why am I writing these books? I have no idea what I'm doing. That thought goes through my mind every single night when I'm writing a book. Every single time. And it will happen to you too. Can I get past it? So far I have, yes. With some counseling, yes. Yeah, there's a holistic healing and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I gotta talk to my animals and stuff. No, how do you get through it? You get some arrogance because I've done it a lot of times and I've gotten through pretty much every problem I've ever been able to find. I haven't found them all, but if I can find it, I can fix it. I've got some cockiness. I've got some attitude. Why? Because I've done it a lot. How are you going to get it? By doing it a lot. I know I can solve things because I've failed so many times, and eventually I can succeed, and so can you. So you got to get yourself kind of into that mode. Hey, I'm going to make this work. But when we talk about all that process, what most people think of as programming is the implementation phase, when you're typing code. You know, I don't ever get carpal tunnel syndrome from writing programs. Why not? You don't type that much. Programming is not about typing. Carpal tunnel syndrome happens when I'm, you know, answering emails from people. Because, you know, real writing is real typing and there's a lot of it. But programming is not about typing. That's the implementation phase. That's the easy part. What most people do is not the stare process at all, but they do the process. They get in there and they implement, and then they have to refine. And then they rorge, and then they, I don't know what, reject and have problems. Yeah? So this project, the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is an algorithm. Algorithm is a fancy computer science word for plan, strategy. POA, what's your plan of attack? So, best way to do that is not always through the dorky little flowcharts and stuff that computer science teachers will tell you. Since this is a finite state machine, I think the best way to handle this is through a finite state diagram. Yeah? How are you going to do that? You can get out a piece of paper and a pencil, that's great. Lipstick on a mirror, whatever you want to use, I don't care. If you want to use a graphical tool, one thing that you shouldn't do is whip out Flash and start writing code. You are going to ignore me on this advice. I am aware of that, and I'm actually fine with it. Because you're going to ignore me, and you're going to get hopelessly lost on this simple project. They haven't gotten complicated yet. And then you're going to, sometime 3 o'clock in the morning with your bunny slippers on, say, crap, I should have planned this out. And my ghost will be smiling over you saying, ha, ha, ha. You tell me if that doesn't happen, huh?
It won't.
It'll happen. It usually does. And that's fine with me. I understand you got to experience that yourself. If you do want to use a graphics program, Visio's nice. It's a nice graphical drawing program. There's a couple of others. The one I tend to use because it's open source and does everything I need is Dia. I like this one. Free download, just do a Google search for Dia. Written by the same guys who did the GIMP. This is a pretty darn cool program. This drawing is a little bit different kind of thinking than a graphics program like GIMP or Photoshop, because you're thinking differently. Let's go the easy way first. So I can take and I can put a box on here, and I can put some text in there. So, you know, on... Hello. See how cool this is? On the couch. And then my two choices are you know, IUPUI catalog and remote control. So I can make a box like that, and then I can do things like copy and paste it and change this new version to be something else. I can also, this is one of my, they're separated. So if you want to, you can group them together. Control G groups them. So now this is one element. Kind of neat. I can move it and not have to worry about the pieces. You can draw lines between them. There's tons of different kinds of lines. That's an ER diagram. We'll skip that for now. This is really a neat little thing, because it tries to draw little lines for you. And even if you move the elements... Okay, let's group this one too. Even if you move these elements, the lines stay connected. Ooh, baby. That's actually very convenient. Because often when you find yourself writing these things, you'll find that you get all caught up in the wrong direction, not where you thought you were going. So this is a nice, flexible way of thinking. How big is the screen? Big as you want it to be. That's appropriate too. It should be big enough for you to be thinking without getting in boundaries. And then you can rearrange things and make them work the way you want. That make sense?
Can you export it as a graphic?
Sure. Sure. File, export. My preference for these kind of diagrams, I think pings are a pretty good option. You can just look at all these formats you can export in. Yeah, you gotta love open source. I like pings. I don't think this does GIF. That's not a big loss. You can do JPEG. Not a perfect plan for something like this. Windows Metafile, SVG. SVG is directly readable by Firefox now, but not by IE. So there's all kinds of formats. The native format is a form of SVG. So you can output in a lot of formats. If you want me to see it on the web, probably ping is your best bet, or JPEG. Okie doke. So once you get your diagram, you get your plan, you save it in this native format so you can edit it, output it in some other format so you can post it up to the website, and let us take a look at that. So far, are you following me? Okay. Do you have to use DIA? Of course not. Look, there's a little guy. You can put the little... Ooh, hi. How you doing?
Hello, my name is Actor.
My name is Actor. You could change his name to something else if you wanted. The truth is, my diagrams, I actually use another tool. I use this UML tool because it's pretty. And because it already has a bunch of pieces. I'm not using it properly, I suppose. But under class, I can call it on the couch. And under attributes, I can put the two choices. So IUPUI catalog. And remote control. And now they're automatically there in that nifty little box. And the thing I like about this is that each of these little choices automatically has a licky sticky coming out of it. And so that's going to be really easy for me to do my next piece where I'm connecting them up somehow. Yeah, I know, this doesn't make any sense at all. But it's pretty handy, huh? Yeah, I like this tool. You don't have to use this, I don't care. But DIA, D-I-A?
No, it's the box.
Oh, that's just the standard class and the UML. Here's all the different kinds of drawings you can do. I mean, these are all the built-in objects. Huge numbers of them. Under UML is these tools, and this class under UML I think is pretty handy. Yes, sometimes I even use it for UML, but not today. Is this working for you? You see what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, download that son of a gun. It's a really nice tool to have. Unless you've already got something you like, and that's fine too. All right, so once you've made it, how do you implement? So now you're in Flash, you're looking at the blank screen in Flash, you've got your diagram, take your diagram, post it up on your wall, I'm not kidding about that. I drew mine on my whiteboard. My whiteboard is the most powerful programming tool I've ever had. No kidding. When I got this house, the first thing I did was put the whiteboard in the office before I put a computer in there. That's my most important computer. Actually, this is my most important computer. That's the easiest interface I know. So I do all my best thinking on the whiteboard. Scribbled it all out. It's nasty. Nobody could possibly read it but me. That's the point, right. Then, I've got that. I've got my state machine. I know what I'm doing. Maybe I make it a prettier form and paste it next to my monitor so I can see what's going on. Now what?
Create all your keyframes and name them.
Exactly. So create all my keyframes. Now, should I put them all right next to each other? There's no real advantage to that. It's not like you're saving space. And there's a big disadvantage. If they're all right next to each other, you can't see the names of them in the timeline. So how far apart should they be?
Wide enough you can read them.
Doesn't matter, right? As long as it's wide enough you can read them. Because we're not going to use the timeline as a timeline. We're using it as a state machine. So make them, I think 10 apart works fine for me, so that's what I tend to do on the 10s.
I learned this in high school, and I believe in firmly the length of a lady's hemline policy, short enough to be interesting, but long enough to cover the issue.
Ooh, that's good.
What?
The length of a lady's hemline, short enough to be interesting, but long enough to cover the issue.
Okay, well, there we go. So then you make one of these keyframes for every state. And label them all. Why? Because we like to label things. You label things, it makes your life easier. Now, you're going to need buttons in each of these. You can either make buttons first and then duplicate, or you can take your buttons, create one, it'll be in the library, so you can drag more copies of it over. It's pretty easy to do. You can copy and paste between frames, that's just fine. All of your logical thinking should be done previously. All of your logical thinking, all of your game design stuff should have been done in that diagram, not here. Here, you're simply implementing. You're translating that to something that can work in Flash. You see what I'm saying? So this is just a matter of taking those ideas, fleshing them out, maybe playing with the text a little more. Maybe you flesh that out a little bit. You want to put some graphics in there? Great. You want to put animations? Super. But that's not what I'm worried about yet. You want to have fun with the Flash part, that's great, but that's not what we're talking about right now. You want to make it a go-to and play that loops, if you know how to do that, super, I'm fine with that. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't do it yet. Because really I'm concerned with the state machine. Can you implement a state machine in Flash? That's the goal. Make sense? We've had some really good examples here. People have done some really nifty stuff. We had a film noir detective story last year. It's very cool. One of the Hawaiian students put together this whole thing that you're searching around on the islands of Hawaii for all this treasures and stuff. Very cool stuff. So, can you do this? Can you have some fun with it? Your immediate mission is to get that diagram up on the website so I can look at it. Make sure you put a link from your main page so we can see it and we can look it over. And then, once you've got that up and ready to go, start implementing and have some fun with it. All right? All right. Thanks a lot, guys. You've been great.